Let's turn in our Bibles this day to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And talk about the Lord's freedom. It's during this time, close to July the 4th, we celebrate America's freedom. We celebrate political freedom, liberty to pursue every avenue of life that we want to. And we're so blessed in our country. We're really blessed by God. However, there's a greater freedom than political freedom. That is freedom from the penalty and the power of sin. And so let's look at this morning as the Apostle Paul writes his letter to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we'll start there. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, if we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not all those who eat the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What I am saying, then, that an idol is anything, or what is offered to an idol is anything, rather, the things which Gentiles they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Father, thank you for your word today. I pray your anointing upon your servant, upon your people to hear it. Help us to receive the truth today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's freedom. There's a lot said about freedom. And a lot is said in our country about freedom of speech. And I'm glad that we have freedom of speech. I also say along with that, there's some things that need to be said. There's some things that just don't need to be said. We all know that. But the Lord give us a freedom that no money can buy. God gives us free from the law of sin and death. Praise God, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have what we call the Lord's Supper. And there's many things that have been taught about the Lord's Supper, some good, some false. The teaching of transubstantiation, it is the belief that the miraculous change by which, according to the Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches, that the Eucharist elements at their consecration become the body and the blood of Christ. They teach when you partake of the bread, Welch's grape juice, that it actually becomes the body and the blood of Christ and it flows through your body. That is false, not true, but the juice and the crackers represent the broken body of Christ and the blood of Jesus, and that's what we do it in remembrance. It doesn't become the body of Christ in unity. Anyway, I think you get it. The Lord's Supper is remembrance and celebration of what Jesus accomplished in fulfilling redemption's plan. The bread and wine only represent the blood in the body of Christ. Let's just remember something. Freedom is not free. It costs the death of the Son of God to give deliverance to us from the penalty of sin and make us free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8 and 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What Jesus did on the cross, He fulfilled all righteousness. He paid for every sin. He shed his blood, his body was broken, and he poured out his soul into death, and his life's blood poured out as an offering for sin, and the only blood that God the Father would ever accept. 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold according to the vain conduct of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So we look here in the book of Corinthians here. Corinth was not a good place. It was known as the most immoral place in the world. Amen. It was the Los Angeles, Las Vegas of their day, of our day. Anything went on there. But idolatry was a problem in Corinth. You say, well, idolatry was something that happened long ago. Oh, no. Idolatry is still a problem today. Anything you put in the place of God becomes an idol because nothing can replace God. And so, Corinth was a place that was given over to idolatry and the worship of other gods. And immorality was what they were described by. To be the Corinthian was to be the most immoral person possible. What was common in their way of worshiping their gods was temple prostitution. All immorality. Immorality was just business as usual in Corinth. You think they needed God? Yes. They need deliverance. Indulgence in sinful activity is not freedom. Matter of fact, it turns to bondage. But if we find here in the Corinthians, if we look at it, human trafficking is nothing new. It happened then, it's happened all through time, and it happens today, and it's something that I hate, is human trafficking and the capture of kids and boys and girls, even older people, to make them become sex slaves to the pagan thought of this age. God's not and can never bless human trafficking, nor the celebration of it. There's nothing to celebrate. And in Corinth, pagan feasts were common. And people would get together and worship their god, whichever one they worshiped. And they would have fellowship meals. It meant fellowship. And they worshiped at their feast. And so something had to change in Corinth. When they become saved as Christians, they could no longer go to have meals and celebrations for pagan gods. And since Corinth worshiped pagan gods, the defining of the Lord's Supper must be changed from the people's understanding of a feast to understanding what the Lord's Supper could in no way be mixed with pagan feast. There could not be a blending together of a pagan feast and that of celebrating the Lord's Supper. And Paul teaches on the Lord's Supper in the 11th chapter here, if we move forward. And we do not celebrate what some other god of some other time or somebody's idea of a god is. We celebrate the price that was paid for our sins by the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus for our redemption at the cross. There is belief today among many people called the belief called universalism, which is a belief that all religions lead to the same heaven and the same God and the same eternal life. That is very false. It's not right. Universalism is true that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, and whoever comes to him, confesses their sins, and gives their heart to Jesus and repents, yes, they can be saved from all cultures, all tribes, all tongues of people. But it's not just automatic that everybody that is worships something will be saved. There's one. It was in Sunday school this morning, Brother Sam. Praise God as he taught. There's one God, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. There's one God. There's not many ways to heaven. There's not several ways you can be saved. There's not several people or several saints that atone for your sins. Only Jesus did. By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Glory to God.
And so Christianity cannot be mixed with anything, can't be mixed with Islam, Buddhism, or any other religion that exists today. Many people say, yeah, well, I believe that I'm Islamic, or I do this, I believe in Allah, then I'll just add Jesus to this also. I'll tell you something, you can't add Jesus to anything. He is Lord of all or not Lord at all. And so you need to, it's a confession that Christ is Lord, He alone. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved except Jesus. And so Christianity cannot be mixed with Islam, Buddhism, or any other religion that may exist today. But judgment comes when people try to make sin acceptable. And years ago, there were a number of holiness movements. Pentecost was one of them. But as most religions, most denominations started, they were very strict and very legalistic. I mean, there were Baptist churches that would kick you out of the church for have a playing card in your hand. And there's other things, rules that people made up. It's numerous. They were that way when I grew up. There were legalistic things, you know, if you did this, you did that, you know, you're probably going to the lake of fire before next Sunday when you could repent. But all of that aside, you cannot mix Christ with anything. No human idea can make Christianity better. Nothing can add to what Jesus did on the cross. If you put mankind in there as something that has to be added to what Jesus did on the cross, then you defy the whole thing. It's all that comes by Christ and Him alone. Amen. When Paul went down, or Peter, Philip, that's who it was, he went down to Samaria and he didn't preach himself to them. He didn't preach this plus that. He preached Christ to them. And people were saved and healed and filled with the Spirit because he taught the one way, one person, Christ. So who he preached to them. Okay? This part you may like. Fellowship is associated with the Lord's Supper. And so fellowship, in this context, and not many times, and many things, is associated with eating. People get together at meals and talk and fellowship. And so we like to eat, especially Americans. You know, we have a covered dish, uncovered dish, and ends up being an empty dish. But things can go on when you're just fellowshipping together that are not good. And in this context here, that they get together and they have a meal and they talk about what all their pagan gods are doing and how good they are and all that. But it can't be that way when Christians get together for fellowship. We want to talk about the good things that God has done in us, what He's delivered us from, has set us free of, and set people free from idolatry and worship things that cannot speak, hear, or respond in time of need, which is what idols are. And more gossip can go on at a table than almost anywhere. But I won't expound on that anymore. You can draw your own conclusion there. But when believers fellowship, it should be sharing testimony of God's goodness, the testimony of how God provided, testimony of how God worked out a difficulty in your life. And when we prayed and God brought an answer, praise God. And so fellowship with us between believers means giving goodness and glory to God. Yes, we talk about normal things and things in the world and things that happen. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to worship, we worship one true God and we give Him all the glory. And so when they met together for a fellowship meal, and back then it was more than just what we're going to do in a few minutes here, it was more than just a piece of bread and juice. It was a full-scale meal provided, but it was to celebrate Christ and His resurrection. When they did, that's what they did. Okay? And so we thank God for the difficulties He works out in our life, and I want to call your attention to the book of Acts, chapter 20.
where Paul preached and he got carried away and he preached all night. You've got nothing to worry about this morning. But in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "Now the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." He had a lot to say. "There were many lamps in the upper room, and they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep." He went to sleep at church. "He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. We know that it caused that Paul came down and prayed for him, there was a resurrection." You think, well, by all of this, the sermon should have been done. But verse 11 says, "Now when he had come up and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed." So we see that the breaking of bread and prayer was not just a small thing. It was celebrated by talking of the goodness and the good things of God that God had done for the people. Here Paul had done things for God, and God had worked powerfully through him, and he spoke to them. That was what it was. Fellowship meal to discuss the goodness of God, not some pagan God, discuss him. Other feasts promoted fellowship with demonic spirits, is what it was, which is behind all idolatry. You read in the Old Testament, they served other gods. Those other gods were simply, they're able to manifest at times, but they were simply demon spirits usually. Fallen angels or demon spirits. And so whatever attention they got out of that, they thought it was something to worship. And so Paul says here to the church in Corinth, he says in verse 14, "Therefore, my beloved, flee, run from idolatry, run from anything that you would use to take God's place." Because you see, nothing can take God's place. Nothing can take God's place. Nothing can take the place of the Jesus that died on the cross to save you from your sin. Nothing can take the place of the blood that he shed to atone for our sins. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid with his own life, physical life, poured out his soul unto death. He shed his blood and paid the death penalty for my sin and yours because he loved and cared for you, not because he needed to, but because he wanted to, because he loves you. Praise the Lord. And so that cannot be imitated, that cannot be replaced by anything else. The blood of Jesus cannot be replaced with some human work. And so, we're not here to promote something except Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul preached all night, telling the miracles he witnessed. I'm sure it was not boring to a lot of people. One guy fell asleep, but it didn't mean they all fell asleep. But other feasts that they had in Corinth promoted fellowship with demonic spirits. It promoted the acts associated with the worship of pagan gods. Basically, it gave worship to idolatry and pagan gods. You say, well, that was them then. Well, let me ask you, what do people put in the place of God today? What do people put in the place of worship today? What do people put in the place of their Bible study or their reading of God's Word? What do people put in the place of prayer? I would pray, but I've got to do this. I would pray, but I've got to go here and I've got to do that. I would pray, but I would read my Bible, but I'm reading the magazine instead. I would read the Bible, but the morning news has just come on. They don't have to print it anymore. It's all over TV. Most of it's bad news. But we can't put things in the place of God because nothing can replace God that we serve. But all kinds of evil were promoted by this idolatrous worship. And Paul puts it very plain here.
he would have been excommunicated with many churches from many churches today. But he says in verse 20 there, rather the thing that the Gentiles sacrificed, they sacrificed to demons and not to God. And then Paul says, I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. But today we worship God who gave his love, hope, peace, eternal life, and we celebrate deliverance. This points to the worship of the one true God, which was opposite to Corinthian society and the worship of many so-called gods. And originally it was a full meal, and the church would get together and they would have a full meal and they would just talk about not each other, not another problem, not each other, not other, not politics or sports. They would talk about the good things of God, the things that God had done. And they got together, they would have a meal, and they would celebrate the death of Christ, the blood as atonement for our sins. They would celebrate his broken body as a judgment for the believer's sins. And here in Corinth, they're partaking of the Lord's Supper. It was not true worship. They would have to get together for the right thing and the right reasons. Chapter 11, verse 18. 1 Corinthians, move over a chapter. And Paul tries to correct the church here. He says, first of all, when you come together, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are proved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He says, what you're doing is not celebrating the Lord's Supper. For in eating, one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. Don't you think there's something wrong with that picture? That one is hungry because it wasn't enough, because all the donuts were gone. And another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God? It's probably talking to the assemblies of God too. And shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. And then he gives the correct way to partake of the Lord's Supper. And the cup represents Christ's willingness to fulfill the plan of redemption for us. Time and again, Jesus says, Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me. And it has to do with the cup of suffering that he would have to go through in order to make redemption possible for you and I today. This was no easy cup to drink. This meant bearing the guilt and the shame of the sins of the whole entire world. That's what Jesus would do when he took the cup of suffering. He would take the guilt and the shame for my sin and yours upon himself, and the entire world is a heavy price to pay. Why would God do this? It had to be out of love. It wasn't because we did something good for him. And in the Garden of Gethsemane is the Garden of Suffering. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with James and John and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he, Jesus, said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And the bread that we partake of in just a minute here celebrates the communion of the body of Christ. Jesus is the bread of life. To partake of him by faith is to receive eternal life, whereas to partake of natural bread is for temporary life. And Jesus said, John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And some of the people in Jesus' day, they were confused. So how can this man give us his flesh and blood to eat and drink? But he goes on further. He says, the flesh is nothing. The spirit is what gives life. And as we concentrate on what God did for us, we express our love, our worship, and our deepest gratitude to our Savior for what He accomplished that day. And so as we partake of these emblems of communion today, let's remember, we didn't earn this. God gave it. God gave His only begotten Son. Now, it didn't stop with Jesus' death. We don't leave Him on the cross. We don't leave Him in the grave. He rose again with all authority over all things and is seated today at the right hand of the Father in power and glory and will return one day again. But as we think about this, His body and His blood, He went through the most torturous, painful death that could be given to a human being. Did Jesus have to do that? No. He said, it's in my power to call a legion of angels here to come and they could set me free. But He chose not to do that. He chose to save you and to save me. He chose to pay what it took to make us righteous before God. Amen. And through His blood, He did that because He didn't stop. He died for my sins, rose again for our justification. Praise the Lord.